A classic courtroom drama navigates the gray areas of power and honor in the latest production from Community Players. The director warns to put preconceived ideas aside just in case you can't handle the truth. Chief of the Arts correspondent Laura Kennedy has more.
Military lawyers uncover a high-level conspiracy in the midst of a court-martial in Aaron Sorkin's play, A Few Good Men. Community Players is staging the show, which debuted in 1989 before going on to be adapted as a successful film in 1992. Jeff Reedy is the director of the play, which opens May 3rd. Reedy says the thrilling courtroom drama begins with two Marines being charged with murder. Enter a rather lackluster defense attorney.
Known for plea bargains, and another attorney comes in and it becomes a courtroom drama as to whether or not it was actually murder, whether it was an order to do so. As the plot unfolds, more and more information comes to light.
Well, of course, this was a very famous film. Jack Nicholson, Tom Cruise were in it. How different is the play from the film?
It's actually not at all. The play was originally written by Aaron Sorkin. He then was brought in to write the screenplay for the movie. And the great part about that is he actually sat down with Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson. And his idea was, okay, these are A-rated stars, and here I am going to be trying to give them line readings. They're going to laugh me out of the room, but they actually sat down and listened to him. And so he sat with them and told them how he wanted the lines delivered. So that's kind of from the horse's mouth. So the lines, the way they're delivered in the movie, is the way he intended them to be delivered. So, and then he actually went back and rewrote the stage version, filling a few plot holes that had arisen.
So he could go back and spackle. Did that spackling end up in the version that you're doing now?
It does come into play. As somebody reading the script, you can tell where there were a couple of changes, so a couple things had been altered that weren't caught. And this is why he's actually going back and rewriting it a fourth time.
Really? So, a fourth time?
Yeah, it'll be the fourth time he's rewritten it, but I believe it's to fix those issues. But we were diligent, caught them, and were very true to the idea of the military version.
Do you find that this play might come with some difficult baggage with regards to talking about power and wielding power?
That's a possibility. What I tried to concentrate on more with the set decisions, the lighting, is the difference to, instead of black and white, you know, there is a lot of gray, especially for those who are serving overseas on bases that are under potential for fire. It's a different lifestyle than the stateside. So we try to concentrate on that more as opposed to the corruption of power, but more as an individual corruption. And then also just to show the differences between an area, and it's a line in the show where here we get to play softballs, they have to worry about being shot at. So there's a definitely difference, which is what we tried to illustrate.
This play is all men except for one female character. So basically we have a hen in the rooster house in the character of Joanne Galloway.
Well, actually, we did gender-neutral casting, so we do actually have multiple females in there. In the modern military, there are females that are stationed overseas. They are more frontline. So we were true, as I stated earlier, to the nature of the military as it currently exists. So, yes, there are a few different female roles. One of them, she's an older individual, and so her character has been in the service a little bit more. So we lovingly refer to her as Margaret Houlihan, the one who grew up very tough and very in the man's military. So she's seen more of a broad range. And then we have some younger roles being filled where it's the new generation coming in.
Well, I think it's interesting that you went about this with gender neutral casting. Did you decide which roles could be switched with regards to gender, or did you just audition people and then decide which actor, male or female, would go well with a role?
It was a little bit of both, actually. We went in with, okay, these cannot be gender swapped based on the way the script's written and keeping it to the original script. So there were several that had to be cast a certain way. For instance, Joe had to be a female role. There's some dialogue between her and Kathy. So there were a few that are, no, we can't change these, but all the others were fair game. And it was who read best and who I could visualize when they got up there and read that they are this character.
There is an examination of power in the play. play. What can we learn from that today?
Well, with anything, there's not black and white, especially in the current political climate. You usually hear the left and right wings, the extremes, screaming the loudest. So if you're right wing based, you're going to be seeing the left wing extremists and see that think paint broadly a brush that is all of them. And same vice versa. If you're on the left wing, you're going to see the extreme right wings talking. There's a whole neutral gray area in life, not just in power struggles, but in politics and religion and any interaction with human beings. There's always gray. And that's what I think is great about this show, is it tries to expose that. It's not just in the main plot. There are several subplots as well. If you watch it multiple times, so come multiple times to see it, that you end up catching.
Why was it important to you to direct this play, Jeff?
Ever since I was a kid, I've loved courtroom dramas. I remember being raised on L.A. Law, Boston Legal, the shows my mom watched, and I absolutely loved them. My cousin Vinny was one that I loved as a teenager. And then when I first saw A Few Good Men, I fell in love with it immediately. I did not get a chance to audition the last time Community Players did it back in, I want to say, 2001. Due to my work schedule, I just couldn't audition, and so it really bothered me. And I've since become a huge fan of Sorkin. West Wing is one of my favorite shows. I absolutely love Sorkin. I love his writing style. And I just felt that to do the show justice, as much as I love it, that I would love to take a shot at it. So it means a lot to me that I was chosen to direct it.
The theme of honor runs through this show. Has working on this show impacted your idea of honor in any way?
There's a line in the show, more towards the end, but it's a line that has been our unofficial motto here, is you don't need a badge on your shoulder to have honor. Having studied the script as many times as I have, I definitely feel that there's different levels of honor. You can be honorable in one way, but completely dishonorable and sleazy in another way. Again, going back to that gray area. Yeah, just going with that, you don't have to have a badge on your shoulder to have honor, and just because you have a badge on your shoulder doesn't mean you have honor.
Well, flipping this around to the audience, do you feel the material will test the audience and their belief systems?
That is my goal. The way the pacing of the show is set, it is intended to keep them on their feet, to keep them on a roller coaster of emotions. One minute you're loving a character, the next minute you hate him. And with the pacing, it's idealize that they won't have time to have resolution to those emotions before they go on to the next one. So at the end, my goal is to have people think, walking out of here and just, having a debate whether or not where they land in.
Sorkin is known for his dialogue and everything fast moving and going along. Tell me about helping your actors with that and navigating the tricky nature of that.
That was something I drilled into them from the very beginning. With Sorkin, it's all about pacing. With this show, as opposed to other shows, you'll have a lot of blocking and a lot of thoughtful pauses in the dialogue. Here, the pauses are very specific, very intended. Without those, I keep going through the dialogue, and so it has been very difficult for a lot of them, especially with our cast. Half of them have never acted before. This is their...
Oh, that's interesting. What kind of challenges does that bring to you?
I thought it would bring a lot, but in fact it didn't. Some of them, like a fish to water. One of them, I'm not going to name names. They have completely blown me away. They've never set foot on a stage before, and I've not had to give them any direction, just a couple minor things. Hey, turn this way, do that. But aside from that, their character just came very naturally. So I've been really, really blown away with the work that they've put in.
What is it about A Few Good Men that do you think will be bringing people into these seats here?
First off, it's a great tribute to our armed forces. I've tried to stay very realistic, not only to the uniforms, the sidearms, the lingo. Military is very important to me. It runs deep in my family, as well as a lot of the staff here. So that's been very important. So not only is it a tribute, but at the same time, this show, above all else, it's a great drama. There are laughs along the way, but the intention is to keep you on the edge of your seat and to make you think afterwards and have a discussion. So it goes beyond just the time you're in the theater and hopefully goes into your life. And if I'm lucky, it will actually affect people in the positive.
That's Jeff Reedy, director of A Few Good Men, opening May 3rd and running through the 12th at Community Players in Bloomington. I'm Laura Kennedy.
There's some dicey language in A Few Good Men, as well as mature themes, so the play, like the film, should be considered R.